right. What did you get up to on Sunday? Okay, the Tashma at the bottom of Chaf Hes Amud Beis. Okay, the first discussion here. Bottom of Chaf Hes Amud Beis 28b Tashma, the middle of the question of how I view a trachea or esophagus that's 50% cut in an act of shechita. If it's already 50% cut, Rav says we consider it to be majority cut. The Hashem told Moshe that when you do shechita, you don't leave the majority intact. So if you do 50%, that's good enough. And Rav Kahana said, no, I view that as majority intact, because Hashem told Moshe shechita means you cut the majority. So therefore, you haven't done enough with it. Tosfos on Chavtes talks about the fact that we have a discussion in Yuma Mem Beis about Rove and whether half is the majority or not, and there they bring a completely separate set of proofs. It's its own discussion. But we have enough of a headache with ours. The Gemara already brought two attempts to prove what we say. One was that our Mishnah said cutting half is not shechita, so obviously that means that half does not work. But we said maybe that's a derabanan, the gzera derabanan, maybe he won't end up doing half. And then the second was regarding purifying an oven, and we said that if we were supposed to split it such that the parts are less than half, if you split the oven in trying to do half, that doesn't work because you can't be precise. The implication being that if I could do precisely half, then the two halves would be tahor. I don't consider half to be like the whole. But the Gemara says, well, that's only because that would be absurd. Because then you'd have a case, theoretically, if you did split it in half, in which each half would be considered the majority. And that doesn't work. Two majorities don't make a whole. You can't do that. Maybe in politics you can. So the Gemara brings a third attempt at proving that half is not a majority. Tashma, bottom line on Chav Ches Amud Beis. Shachat Chansi Gargeres V'shav Bakidei Shechita Acheres. He shachted half of the Kana. The Gargeres here is the same thing as the Kana. It's the trachea. V'shav Bakidei Shechita Acheres. And then he did a proper Shir Shehiya, or an improper, I should say, Shir Shehiya. He paused long enough that it would disqualify the act of Shechita V'gomra. And then he concluded the shechita. Rashi notes that we are assuming here that we're dealing with a behema, such that you require both the kana and the veshet, the trachea and the esophagus, and gomra means that you concluded the entire act of shechita on both. So so he started to do the shechita. He pauses in the middle at the chatzi point. We use the term, magic term chatzi. So he said, shechita sok shera. The shechita that you do at that point is going to be kosher. So the i'amrit mechza mechza karov, if you really believe that doing 50% is the same thing as doing the majority, so idrifala, this animal is now a trefa, because you cut more than halfway through. Right, it's now psukas hagargeres. It's an animal with a cut gargeres, with a cut trachea, and then you paused, and then you did the rest. That animal is now a trefa. To which the Gemara answers, no. We're on the third line. Misavrid de behema. You think we're talking about a behema here? Lo, but oh, if we're dealing with birds, it's a bird case. Because what do you want here? Either you're going to tell me that 50% is like the majority, in which case you did the rov and therefore the shechita is kosher, because that's all you had to do. You did the rov of the trachea, the bird is now nishchat. And if you're going to tell me that 50% is not the majority, then you didn't do anything at all. You cut the minority of the gargaris, it's still okay. With a veshet, a little hole will already passel it. But with a gargaris, you would have to cut more than 50% of the way through. I didn't do that. So therefore, it's going to be kosher, and my shehiya is irrelevant. That's the idea. But this is now no longer valid as a proof for us. So we're still struggling to find a proof that cutting through halfway is or is not like the majority. And again, the goal of all four attempts at proof here is to prove that half is not a majority. So Tashma, we bring fourth attempt.
The second half is also is on a rope.
Right.
The first half, right. Level a club. You made your shia. Now you're starting to do shechita. You didn't do anything because it's only
right. So our question here, right. So our question here, and this goes back to the very beginning of the discussion. The discussion here is predicated upon the assumption that we can discuss the half that you cut without discussing the second half. And you sort of enter on that in the second proof when they talk about the tanur. And we entertain the idea that both halves could be the majority. Simultaneously. We're assuming here that you can discuss the half that you cut without discussing the other half. The half that remains. No, the half that you cut is the first half.
You didn't do a good shrita because there was a psul shia in the middle. So we're saying we'll have a klum.
No, because either what I did was shrita, or what I did was less than half, in which case it was nothing. I can't lose. As long as I pretend that I'm not aware of the second half that's there. Because otherwise the same question remains, yes.
But the first half is treated like a whole that was there before.
The first half was treated like a hole. When you say hole, when you say gap. Say gap.
Okay.
But that's correct.
That's the way we learned.
Yeah, no, that's correct. That's correct. Because our question is not about halves in general, and that's Tosus's point on Chavtes. I don't think you were here yet when I mentioned it. But our question is not about halves in general. Our question is specifically about a shechita act which cuts through a half. It's not about halves in general, such that I should be able to discuss the second half, which is left intact, which is why the oven case is a very odd one to bring. But let's see the fourth attempt here. Tashma, Harishai Achatzi Kana Pogum. Right, the classic case, we've discussed this before. The half of the trachea is already slit before you go in to do your act of shechita. V'hosif olav kol shehu v'gamro, and then you added a little bit more, and that brought it over the halfway point, and that concludes, and then you conclude the shechita. Shechita sok shera sheyu shechita, in that case, is going to be kosher. End of quote. V'i amrit mechzal mechze kerov, if you believe that 50-50 is like the majority, then once again, trefa havia, it's a trefa, because chatzi kana pagum means that more than 50% of the trachea is considered to be cut. To which Omar Rava, it should. This bothers me. It should be Rabo. Usually in the Gemara we get a little note that when Rava comments and then Abaye responds to him, it tends to be Rabo, not Rava, because Abaye doesn't respond to his Talmud Rava. Abaye responds to his Rebbe Rava. Nonetheless, in ours we don't have any such note. So Rava says, Sha'ani le'inyan trefa deba'inan rov hanira la'inayim. He says, trefa is a different story. Even if you're going to tell me that regarding the shechita cut, 50% is really like the majority, regarding trefa, you won't say 50% is like the majority. Because when you're dealing with a trefa, you require what the Gemara calls rov hanira la'inayim, a majority that's visible to the eye. If you see Rashi, he explains rov hanira la'inayim kaloma rov gamur, a complete rov, shehu nikar. Because it's visible, it reminds you like regarding a minion, ruba de minkara, requiring a majority that you could see. So whether that means 6, whether that means 7, to make a minion. Rashi says rov gamur, the Shulchan Aruch, the Rashba, many Rishonim take that to mean a measurable rove. Meaning it doesn't have to be something I would see by looking at it with my eyes, but if I were to take a ruler out, I would say, okay, that's the majority. The Taz thought that was very strange. I gave you the references, I think, in the note on the sheet. The Taz says that's not what nikar means. Nikar means someone looking at it will just be able, just by seeing it, to say, oh, that's the majority. But either way, he says the standard of majority is going to be different for shechita from what it is for. It's going to be different from the standard for trefa. And our concern here is the shechita question, not a trefa question. To which Abaye says, but the proof should, the way you look at it should be just the opposite. Amar le Abaye velo kol dechenu. Abaye says this is a kol shekein. How much more so? Uma trefa divemashehu mitrefa hecha debeinan ruba beinan rova nira leinayim shechita daadik aruba lo miskashra lo kol shekein debeinan rova nira leinayim. He says, look, your standard regarding trefa in many cases is that any minimal hole is going to render something a trefa. Rashi gives you examples like the hole in the esophagus or in the lungs, right? There are holes where any minimal amount is going to be sufficient to render the animal a trefa. And yet here you're telling me you need a visible majority. So then regarding shechita, where you have a shear, you have to do the majority, certainly it should be a visible majority. I should require it to be more gross, not more fine. Ella, rather, Abaye says that's not the idea. Dekulei alma mechza mechza eno kerov. He says everybody agrees with what we've been trying to prove all along, that 50% is not the majority. V'chi itmar derav u'derav kahana le'inyan Pesach itmar. When Rav and Rav Kahana had their initial discussion of is 50% the majority or is it not the majority, that actually wasn't the shechita discussion at all. They had a debate, but it was on a completely separate rov issue. It was the issue of Karban Pesach and the question of what you do if the not majority, 50% of Klal Yisrael are Tame. How in the world you end up measuring out 50% of Klal Yisrael is a really good question. I'm going to duck it. But he says, Le'yim Pesach Itmar, that's where the debate was. Harei Shahu Yisrael, Mechza Taharim, Mechza Temeim. If there were 50% of the Jews, I don't know if this is 50% of Jews in general, 50% of those who come for the Karban Pesach, 50% of those who are within Beis Pagi, I don't know. What I don't know what 50% here means. I don't know if 50% is the Shochtim, 50% of the Vad, that are coming to do this together, 50% of that group. Remember, you had three shifts that came in. I am entirely perplexed by 50%. Because just as a case, I don't understand this.
Question, right?
Yeah, but at least you show me a trachea, and I can say, okay, that's 50% cut. I can figure out a way to do that. I don't know. I don't know 50% of what we're discussing here. I'm just acknowledging my ignorance.
General, so we can go right there with it.
Sorry. No, but I don't know what group. But what group are you talking about? 50% of what? It's 50% of that shift that's there to Shecht? Is it 50% of the Shochtim? Is it 50% of the men who are the heads of the household? Is it 50, I don't know 50% of what? Harishahu Yisrael, Mechza Tahor, Mechza Temeim. If you have 50% Tahor, 50% Tame, Rav Omar Mechza, Mechza Kerov, so he says, I view the 50% that is Tame. Matl, you have the same question here. Which 50% are you going to look at? The 50% that are Tame, I look at as the majority. Rav Kahana, Mechza, Mechza, Eino Kerov, and Rav Kahana says, no, the 50% that are Tame are not the majority. And therefore, therefore, as Rashi notes, if you say Mechza Mechza is Kirov, then the Taharim are going to do their own Pesach B'Taharim, and the Tmeim will do theirs B'Tumah. But they get to do Pesach Rishon. Whereas if you say Eino Kirov, then they have to do Pesach Sheni. V'Hasa Maitaima De'Rav. So what's Rav's reasoning by Karban Pesach for making his stance that Mechza Mechza is Kirov, right? Separate from the Shechita discussion. Dechsev, because the Pasuk says Ish Ish Ki. So the double reference of Ish there, that's the one who gets pushed off to Pesach Sheni in Parashas Baloscha. So Ish Nidcha Vein Tzibur Nidchen. So it says one would get pushed off, a Tzibur would not get pushed off. So he says, granted that, as Rashi says, it granted that 50% does not constitute a rove, however, it's not an ish either. It's not an individual either. It's a sufficient tzibur to say, okay, they get to do Pesach Rishon.
About 49% too.
Yeah, in a Hanami. We're doing 50% as a threshold, but it does raise the question. And take a look at Tosfos also. On this, you see Ish Nidcha. He has his own question in terms of use of Ish to mean rove or to mean less than rove. In a separate discussion by Avodah Zarah. Yeah.
Which one is a chumra and which one is a kula?
Why wouldn't I say being able to do Pesach Rishon is the kula?
Yeah, the tumah.
I would think that would be the kula. That would be my assumption. Until proven otherwise, because you're getting to do it bituma and you're getting to do it along with the first, I would have considered that to be. It's they get to avoid kares first time out. Okay. Next discussion in the Gemara. Why do I need two different lines regarding Rov Echad? When you look back at the Mishnah back from on Chav Zayin, we said first of all Hashochet Echad Ba'of. If you shecht one, right, the trachea or the esophagus, it's kasher, and we said, verubo shel echad kamohu, doing the majority of one is like doing the whole thing. And then, at the last line of the Mishnah, we said, rov echad va'ov, shchita sok shera. So why did you need to tell me twice that the majority of the vessel is going to be kosher? That's what the Gemara wants to know. Taneina chada zimna. We already learned this. It's commenting on the last line of the Mishnah, which said rov echad va'ov. He said we learned this already. Rubo shel echad kamahu. The majority of one is like it. So that really should be enough. So taneina, we learned this already. Amar Rav Hoshaya. So Rav Hoshaya answers, Chada bechulin v'chada bekadshim. One of these is for chulin, and one of them is to teach me regarding karbanos. Why do I need a separate lesson? Utzricha, you needed it because the iash me'inon chulin hasamu desagile beruba mishum delav l'damu tzarech. If he had just taught me about chulin, I would have said, sure, for chulin, there's no need. You're not looking to produce the dam specifically. You'll do malicha later to take care of the dam. And therefore, a majority cut is really good enough. Aval kachim de la dam utzarech, but for kachim, you need the blood, so therefore I should make a cut that's going to produce more blood. Because you need the blood, as Rashi says, for zrika. Ema lo tiski lei beruba adika kulei. I might say, rove is insufficient. You have to really cut through the entire thing. Ve'iash min kachim. And had you only taught me about kachim, that half is sufficient. That rove is sufficient. I would have said mishum diladam hutzarich, v'avachulin diladam lo tzarich im v'palga sagilei. I would have said that regarding kachim, you have to at least do a majority. But regarding chulin, you would need even less because after all, I don't need the dam kamash malan. And therefore, it teaches me that you need the majority both for chulin and for kachim. Good. The Gemara, though, now wants to know, so which line is the Chulin line and which line is the Kachim line? And our assumption is going to be that the first one is the Chulin line, and we're going to bring several attempts to prove it. Hi bechulin v'hai bekachim. Which one is your chulin line? Which one is your kachim line? So Amar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana says mistabru reisha bechulin v'seifa bekachim. He says logically the first one is the chulin line. Mimai. On what basis do you say that? Midiksani hashochet. Because the verb that was used was hashochet. If you're dealing with kachim, he said you're dealing with a bird, right? What do you do with birds? You do malika. V'isal gadaitach reisha bekachim. If you thought that line, that opening line was a kachim line, Hamolek Mibayilai, you should have said Hamolek Elamai. Well then wait a minute, what are you going to say? Seifa Bekachim? You want to tell me that the latter line was your Kachim line? The latter line ended with the word Shchita Sokshera. Your Shchita is kosher. That's also a bird. Malika Sokshera Bayalai, should say Malika. Oh, hello Kasha, that doesn't bother me. Why? I need to Salik Mibahema because there the concluding case is Behema. It said Rov Echad Ba'ov V'Rov Shnayim Bebehema. So therefore you concluded with Behema. Tananami Shchita Sokshera. So he said the Shchita is kosher. Go back and reference the Mishnah. You'll see it explicitly.
No.
Trust me. The line ended with bivahema, rosh shnayim bivahema, that the majority is with an animal. So we ended up with a discussion of animals. Therefore, we said shchita sokshera ela reisha michti al ov koi. But the reisha, the opening case, you start with birds. Hashochet echad beof, right? Isagadaitach bekachim hamolek mibayilei. If you were dealing with kachim, you would have had to say hamolek. I wouldn't cut you off, Matel, but you leave at 6:20, so you're cutting me off, so I can do it back to you.
The verse right before that, not the one that's saying at the end.
No, the point is simply that the word shchita appears next to behema when you're dealing with the seifa. It's next to the behema case, whereas in the reisha case, it's going with the bird. That's our first approach. We have five approaches, even though the first one sounded pretty good to me. Rasimi Barashi, Amar Reisha Bechulin Mehacha. Rasimi Barashi says the way I know that the first one is talking about chulin is from the following diktani. Echad ba'of, because it says one is good for the bird. Ve'isa gadaitach bekachim ha'ika olas ha'of to boish ne'simanim. He says not all kachim are qualified. If you just cut one, there is the olas ha'of for which we say you cut both simanim and your mavdil. So since regarding the olas ha'of you require two, and yet it said echad ba'of, it must be talking about chulin elamai. But then the Gemara says, well then wait a minute, seifa bekachim. You think the end case is kachim? It says Rov echad be'ov. It also uses the term echad there. Ha'ika olas ha'ov de'boi shnei simanim. What are you going to do with the olas ha'ov that requires two? To which he answers, my rov echad. What did rov echad mean? Rov kol echad ve'echad. He means in the seifa, which we said was regarding kachim. So rov echad meant the majority of each one that you are cutting. So in the ola, you're cutting both. Cut the majority. Obedinu the listener rov shnayim. You're right, it should have said rov shnayim. But kevan de'ika chatas desagi le'bechad simon, since the chatas can still be done with one, mishumachi lo psikolei. Therefore, you couldn't just say shnayim. It wouldn't have been able to say that either. It would have to say one or two, depending on your kachim. That's not language you will find in a Mishnah. And therefore, it needed to leave it that way. They left it as echad, but it really it meant the shnayim. Why couldn't you have done that in the reisha? Also, apparently, you could have. You could have done the same thing.
Wasn't it machlekes though regarding rov shnei?
What do you mean?
By oath?
By no, I think we accept rov. No. The only thing is that by the ol eventually have to be mavdil, but that's a separate point. That's not in the shchita. You mean by an ola specifically, whether rov simanim?
Yeah. Well, you needed to get to do rov simanim on both came to her.
When it came to an ola,
rov simanim completely.
No, by ola you definitely need two. The only question is whether rov is sufficient or you require all. I don't remember. Lee and I, I'll take a look at it later. Okay. So that's our second. Rav Papa Amar Reisha Bechulin Mehacha. Rav Papa says, I can give you a third attempt to show that the Reisha was dealing with the Chulin. The Ovimah was the Chulin. One Mehacha from the following, Viksani. Because it said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ad Sheyishchot Es Havridin, that you have to shech the Vridin, you have to shech the blood vessels as well. Upligi Rabbanon Alei, and the Rabbanon there said, no, you don't. Right? Sa'i'amrit bishlama b'chulin shapir. If you're dealing with chulin, I can understand. You don't need to shech the vridin. The ela i'amrit b'kadshim, am I pligi rabbanon alei? But if you're dealing with kadshim, then why would the rabbanon disagree and say, I don't need to cut the vridin? Hu atzma lo dam hu tzarech. As we've already said, when you do kadshim, you're going to need the dam to take care of the avoda on the mizbeach. That's the whole point, as Rashi says. So therefore, everybody's going to say you have to cut the vridin. That must be talking about chulin. That's the only way around it. Rav Ashi gives me a fourth. Rav Ashi Amar Seifa B'Kadshim Mehacha. He says, I'll prove to you that the latter line is a Kadshim line. As opposed to proving the opening line is a Chulin line, I'll prove to you the latter line is a Kadshim line. Mehacha, from the following. Diksani, because it says, Hashochet Shnei Rashin Ke'echad Shchita Sok Shera. This is elsewhere. We learn that if one shechts two heads simultaneously, one shchita going across two necks, so that's going to be kosher, implying hashochet di'eved in lechatchila lo. Only b'di'eved is that good, but lechatchila one is not supposed to do it, and that's an extension of our sefer because it's in a mishnah that's upcoming. And that, he says, has to be kachim. Why? Because you only accept shchita of the two necks simultaneously, b'di'eved. If you're going to tell me you're talking kachim, then I understand why it's only acceptable b'di'eved. Why? Mishum detani Rabbi Yosef, we're going to see this a couple of times on this daf. Rabbi Yosef taught, Tizbach, the Torah says, Shalo yehi shnayim shochtim zebach echad. Tizbach is the singular. You, singular, shall shech. That tells me that you can't have two people doing the shchita simultaneously, and tiz bachuhu, you shall shecht it, shalo yeh echad shochet shnei zivachim, that you shouldn't shecht two karbanos simultaneously, tiz bachuhu, you shall cut it. The Amar Rav Kahana, and Rav Kahana says, explaining the first half of the line, where we said that there's only one person doing the shchita, not two, tiz bacheyuksiv. He's bothered by the fact that tiz bachuhu, literally, is you, plural, shall shecht it. That's how you would say the group. But he says, remember, yeshem lemikra, yeshem lemisares, following the way it's read versus following the way it's pronounced. So he says, we're going to follow the way it's written, and it's written without a vav between the ches and the hey. So it's written like tiz b'cheihu, which would be the singular, you, singular, shall shecht it, only one shochet. No, but the point is that if you read it as tizbachuhu, it really is you plural, and it doesn't tell me to exclude multiple shochtim. I need the tizbachayim. But the point is, elayamid bechulin, if you were to tell me that this was talking about chulin, afil lechatchila nami, then leave lechatchila, it should be kasher. So from the fact that a mishnah after our seifa, as an extension of our seifa, the next mishnah is talking about kachim, the seifa of our mishnah must also be talking about kachim. That's our assumption until we see evidence otherwise. And then finally, a fourth attempt. Reish Lakish says, I will prove to you that the opening line was chul and the latter line was kachim. To Amar b'shem ben Lakish, because Reish Lakish said, me'achar sheshaninu rubo shel echad kamohu, lama shaninu rov echad ba'of rov shnayim b'behema. Once we say that the majority is like the whole, why do I need to say again, majority of one by the bird, majority of two by the animal, right? We're asking about the redundancy. Lefisha shaninu heviu lo es hatamid, because we learn the following regarding Yom Kippur. They brought the Kohen Gadol, the carbon tongue. They did kertzo. To be keretz ordinarily is to make a mark. But what it means here is he actually starts the shechita. Rashi explains that we have a problem. We want the Kohen Gadol to do all of the avoda. But here he's going to have to do a shechita and kabbalah sadam. That's quite a trick. So what he's going to do is he's going to start the shechita enough that it'll be a shechita kshera. And then he's going to hold the mizrak. And as the line continues, umeirek acher shechita so al yado. And then somebody else finishes the shechita. Toso says Merik is actually a term for finishing it up, as opposed to what I would have thought Merik meant, which means to pour out. Usually Laharik is to pour out, so I would have assumed it didn't mean he was extending the cut at all. I would have assumed it meant he was just opening the neck up a little bit to let the dam come out. Tos says no, it actually is an expression of concluding something. So he says, so to speak, don't mop up in this case. The umerik achar shchita so al yado, and somebody else does the conclusion of the shchita. End of quote regarding Yom Kippur. So yachol lo merik ye pasul. I might think that if you didn't do the merika, it would actually be no good. Lekach shaninu rov echad ba'of v'rov shnayim bebehema. Therefore, it had to say the majority of one regarding the bird, the majority of two regarding the animal, and that's a kudshim case. Right, but that's a kudshim case. To tell me that doing the majority of the cut is sufficient, even if no one did this conclusion of it. That's the idea. Yeah. That's what we're doing here. So once the Gemara mentions this, we've already finished bringing our proofs, so we think that's an interesting thing to discuss for a moment. This issue of the Marika regarding Yom Kippur. Omar Mar. Yachalo Merik Ye Pasol. I might have thought that if you didn't do the Meruk, then the carbon would be no good. That's the quote. So he says, wait a minute. If you would think that, in Kain, Habile Avoda Ba'acher, that means you have somebody else concluding the Avoda. In other words, if you're making the Meruk an essential part of the Avoda, someone other than the Kohen Gadol is doing the Avoda. V'tanya, we learned, Kol Avodas Yom HaKippurim Einu K'sheres El Abo. It's got to be done by the Kohen Gadol. Yeah, but this is what we meant to say. Yachol ye pasul mid the rabbanon. I might have thought it would be pasul mid the rabbanon. I would have thought there is a psul midrabanan lekach shaninu, and therefore we had to say rabechad bo for shnayim bebehema. The majority of one is good by the bird, regarding the majority of two for the animal. In other words, I might have thought it's psul midrabanan without the meruk, even though the avoda is done. The avoda is entirely done. So this person is not called an oved, such that you have someone other than the Kohen Gadol is doing it. It's just midrabanan that we require the meruk. That's what they were discussing. No one was trying to turn this into a bona fide avoda. That's the idea. To which the Gemara says, "Umeachar dafilu psula derabanan leka." Well, if it isn't even a derabanan, lamilila marek. Why exactly are you doing the meruk in any case? Right? Why would you want to do the meruk if it isn't even a derabanan? After all, Tosfos points out in Yuma, if you're going to do meruk, it looks like shahia. It looks like somebody started it and somebody ended it. Not to mention, I don't understand why Tosfos didn't mention this. Also, someone must. It's Yom Kippur. Yeah. This is chovel. This is the very definition of chovel. The definition of chovel is you wound something in order to produce the dam and you want the dam. Right? How much more chovel could you get? Why are we doing this if it's not necessary on Yom Kippur? So therefore his answer is mitzvah l'mareik. Yeah. The answer is there's a mitzvah of doing meruk. What does that mean? There's a mitzvah of doing meruk. So Rashi here offers two possibilities. His first approach comes also in Tosas and Yuma, and that is mitzvah l'mareik because it'll help you get the dam. Rashi's second approach here is berov am hadras melech, by having another person involved. But Rashi doesn't like that approach. And then the Rashash quotes a Tosfos, which we don't have, to say that maybe it's the majority to make sure that he does rov. I mean, not the majority. You have somebody else come in and do the meruk to make sure that he'll do rov. Tosfos also notes that if you were to call this an avoda, you'd have a big problem, because you just told me before, we don't want two people doing shechita. And this is a karban. Yeah.
That's a question that answered it by Tosfos. Then there'd be shechita.
Right, if you consider it to be part of the avoda.
Well, you said you want rov done, right?
Oh, in other words, if you're really concerned that it's not rov, right, you mean the Rosh Hashanah's quote from some Tosfos somewhere, right, that if you really tell me we're doing this in order to make sure that he did rov, then you have bigger problems to worry about. That's a good point. It's very odd. The Rosh Hashanah didn't like it either, because he said, Kohanim, aside from Kohanim's reason, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, if he's not Zariz, you got real problems. The Kohen Gadol is going to take care of it and do it nicely. We don't need to introduce somebody doing this for that purpose. Okay. Good. So we've dealt with the question, one way or another, of 50% cut in the trachea and the esophagus. We said 50% does not count like the majority. That was our conclusion. And we dealt with the question of why Rubush Lechad Kamohu and Robechad Ba'ov Kasher. Why do I have two separate lines? One, the first one is for Chulin, the second one is for Kudshim. We gave our side note regarding Reish Lakish and that the person who's doing the finishing is not doing an avoda. Now we hit a fundamental philosophical question, which is much bigger than shechita. Usually, mitzvos have one action. You do your mitzvah, and you're done. You give somebody tzedakah, you did the mitzvah. You lit Shabbos candles, you did the mitzvah. You said kiddush, you did the mitzvah, whatever it is. When you're dealing with shechita, you could argue that this is a multiple action mitzvah. Because you start your action until you hit the midpoint, you haven't yet done shechita, and then you conclude your action. So the argument could go, this is either an extended single action or multiples if you really want to push it. And the question is, at what point did it become a mitzvah act? At what point does this become a mitzvah action? The only parallel I can think of offhand is Sfiras HaOmer, according to the view that it's one long mitzvah. Right? We say a bracha every day because of the view that it's 49 separate mitzvahs. But what if it's really one long mitzvah, that's such that we say if you miss a night, that's it? So at what point are you really doing a mitzvah action? There are practical ramifications for this discussion, the classic discussion of the kid who's under bar mitzvah, right, until day 23 of the Omer. At what point did you do a mitzvah action? So that's the discussion that they want to have over here. Amar Bishim ben Lakish Mishum Levi Sava. Reish Lakish quotes Levi the Elder. Eino l'shchita ela besof. It only becomes shchita at the end of the action. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Yeshna l'shchita mitchila v'ad sof. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it was a shchita act from the beginning to the end. And we'll see the ramifications in this discussion. Amar Rava. Rava says, Hakol modim hecha deshachat siman echad oved kochavim siman echad Yisrael shiv psula. He says everybody agrees if someone who wasn't Jewish did the first siman and then someone who is Jewish does the second siman, which I would have brought as one of my ramifications. Right? Because if someone isn't Jewish, it's not an act of shechita. Well, does the first siman count as an act of shechita anyway or not? When I said one long action or multiple actions, there's your perfect explanation of how it's multiple actions, because you're cutting two simanim. When I cut the first siman, is that it? The beginning of the first siman at any rate. Yes. Based on that, there would be a distinction. So Rava says, if you sheft one siman, if a non-Jew shefts the first siman, I might have assumed that's an afgamina, but it's not. It's not. Everybody's going to agree that it's possible. Why? Because no matter how you slice it, so to speak, it's not about whether it's a shechita psula, now it's a trefa. Right? The Oved Kochavim rendered it a trefa. It doesn't matter that he's an Oved Kochavim. It's a trefa. So that's not an afkamina. That won't be an application. But Olas Ov Nami, also regarding the Olas Ov, also, Hecha de Malik Simon Echod Lamata, Vesimon Echod Lamala Psula. Forget the question of whether the whole thing is an act of Shechita, or in this case, an act of Malika or not. It's going to be possible if you did the first Simon below the Chut HaSikra. Remember that with the Ola, it's all supposed to be above the Chut HaSikra. Ola is above, Chatas is below. So so when you did the malika of the first siman below the line, and then the second siman above the line, it's going to be puzzled, but that isn't about whether this is all an act of malika or not. Sharei asa b'maisa chatas ha'ok lamata, because what you did was the act of a chatas, and therefore that gives it significance, and you did it in the wrong place. So even if it's not an act of malika, it's still no good. Because you did an action that would be malika for achatas. Lo nechleku ella kigon sheshachat siman echad b'chutz v'siman echad b'fnim. But I'll give you what I believe is an application. He says, where you shechted one siman outside and one siman inside the Beis HaMikdash, and you're dealing with an animal. So if shechita is shechita from the start, you did shechita's chutz. You shechted it outside. Whereas if you say that shechita is only at the end, so that wasn't called shechita. What you did was simply a hechsher. It was a preparatory step. Amale Rabba Bar Simi, to which Rabba Bar Simi says, Marlo Amar Hachi. The master didn't say that. Umanu, who's the master? Rav Yosef. Don't start with Rav Yosef. Hechad deshachat simon echad bechutz v'simon echad bifnim nami pasol. He'll tell you, Rav Yosef will tell you, it's pasol even if you did one simon outside and one simon inside, not because it started out as an act of shechita, sharei asa b'maisa chatas ha'of bechutz, but because you did an action which is significant, because regarding a chatas ha'of, it would be significant, cutting just one simon. Granted, it's malika, not shechita, but the point is, one siman is sufficient, is significant there, one siman is significant here, and it's not about defining this as an act of shechita. So then, can you give me an application? Yes. You started the act of shechita outside the Beis HaMikdash and concluded it inside the Beis HaMikdash. This is another one that's very hard to imagine physically. You worry about shehiyah and drasa. I'm awed by this kohen. But he's doing, it doesn't have to be a kohen, it could be a zar, shechita. Sorry?
It could be right at the shahr.
Theoretically. I just don't understand. Sure. Along with the animal. The animal's an Olympic sprinter as well. And he's holding it. In any case, he shechted me at simonim outside, he concluded inside. If you believe that it's one long act of shechita, says chayiv. But if you believe that it only becomes an act of shechita inside, when you're actually inside at the end, so you're not chayiv. To which Masiv Rabbi Zera says, wait a minute, you really believe that possibility? Hold on, let me bring in Parah Aduma here. We learned, Kala Asukin Bepara, Mitchila Ve'atzof Metamin Begadim, right? The rule is, if you're involved in the Avodah of the Parah Aduma, so you have to wash your clothing. Afterwards, Kibbutz Begadim is required. The Begadim become Tameh. Anybody is involved from beginning to end in the Avodah. Uposlin Osa B'malacha Acheres. And during that time, if you were to use it for some other purpose, you would actually disqualify your Malacha, whether you're using the animal, or Rashi says, if you're using the Malacha. He says, let's say you're cutting, and along with cutting the neck of the paraduma, you also cut a gourd with that same maisa shechita. That's called bringing in another malacha at the same time. So Rabbi Zera says, we learned there that you disqualify things if you got involved in another malacha, and in the entire process, you're metame begadim. Ira bapsul, if something happens to disqualify the avoda, or disqualify the animal. Rashi says that it's disqualify the animal as an avela. Tosu says psul in the avoda as well. The bishchita sah, if it's during the shchita, bein kodem psula, bein laachar psula, eina mitama begadim. If something happens to disqualify during the shchita, then whether you were involved before the psul or you involved after the psul, either way, you're not going to be mitama begadim because it wasn't a shchita. Right, so we are linking it to karbanos for this purpose, even though the calling the parah aduma a karban is questionable. That's true. We're going to apply it also for tizbachu a little bit later on the amud. We're going to view it as a karban for these purposes because it's kachim. But you're right. Technically, this is an odd thing. We do call it a chatas. It's its own discussion. So he says, if there's a psul in the shechita, no one is mitame begadim, whether they were involved before the psul or after, because the shechita was no good. Whereas if the psul happens in sprinkling the dam, then kodem psula, if you were involved before the disqualification took place, mitama begadim, then you will in fact communicate to the clothing. La'acha psula eina mitama begadim. If you're involved after the psul, then you're not. End of quote regarding paraduma. So now Rabbi Zera brings his question. Ve'i amr yeshna l'shchita mitchila ve'atzof, if it's called shchita from the beginning to the end, liflognami b'shchita sa, so then you should even distinguish within the shchita and say, ira b'psul b'shchita, if a psul occurs in the shechita, then kodim psula mitama begadim, anyone involved before the psul should communicate tuma to the clothing, because after all it was an act of shechita. Lacha psula ena mitama begadim, and then afterwards he's not mitama begadim. That's what it should have said. So Amar Rava niskankal shechita ka'amrit. Rava says no. Don't bring any proofs from there. You want to prove that the beginning did not count as an act of shechita because he's not mitama begadim. I'll answer you, the beginning didn't count as shechita because you're talking about where the shechita was corrupted. Niskankal shechita ka'amrit. Sha'ani hasam. That's different. Digloi milsalim afreya delav shechita iklal. That shows it wasn't a shechita to begin with. That's different. That's not like the normal question. Amar Rava, and Rava says, ikashali, if I had a problem, hakashali, this would be my problem. Lamanda Amar Eina L'Shchita Ela Besof, within the view that says it only becomes Shchita at the end, Liflog Bach Shera De Para, talk about where the Para ends up being done right. There you should have a problem. Kigon de shachtua betray gavri. Let's say you had two people do the shechita. De gavra kama lo mitama v'gavra basra mitama. If you believe that shechita is two separate things, that there's pre, where it's not called a shechita, and then at the end it becomes shechita, then the first person involved isn't engaged in avoda, and therefore should not be mitama, and you should have said that. That's his problem, where the part doing was done right. Not where it was corrupt. Where it's corrupted, the beginning wasn't act of shechita, the end wasn't act of shechita. Where it was done right, the beginning, whoever's involved in the beginning, shouldn't become a begadim. To which Rabbi Yosef again springs on us from before. Amar Rabbi Yosef, trei gavri b'chad zivcha ka'amrit. He says, you're talking about two people in one shechita? Bar minei da'i, exclude that. Detaneina, because we already learned, tizbach, shlo yushnaim shochtin zevach echad, tizbach, you singular shall do the shechita, not two people. Tis b'chuhu shalom yayecha shochet shnei zvachim. V'am Rav Kahana tis b'chayu ksiv. Right? Tis b'chuhu was that you shouldn't, that you shech it, not two animals at the same time. And Rav Kahana said, going back on the ratio, on the first part, it's written tis b'chayu, therefore it's only one person doing the shechita, so therefore you won't have two people shechting this paraduma, so your question is not a question. Amar le Abaye, to which Abaye says, and once again, I feel like it should be Rabba before asking it, because again, you have Rabbi Yosef and Abaye responding. Nonetheless, the Abaye says, la v'itmar ala, didn't we learn regarding that? Amar Rabba bar bar chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, zu divrei Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, stim ta'a. This is the view of Rav Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Stimta. Rashi explains that there are many Mishnayos and Brisos which Rav Elazar, Rabbi Shimon was the author of, and they were brought in as Stam. Ordinarily we say Stam Mishnah Rabbi Meir, but this is one of those cases where it's actually Rav Elazar, Rabbi Shimon talking. Aval Chachamim Omrim Beishochtim Zevachecha, but the Chachamim say that two indeed may shecht one carbon. So Abaye says, wait a minute, don't reject the question of the two shochtim out of hand. Because some people do think you can have two shochtim. Aval chamo and beis shochtim zevach echad. Ula b'lazer b'shimon nami liflog kigon d'shachar chad gavra b'shnei sudarim. And even if you take the view of Rav Elazar b'shimon that you're not going to have two shochtim, I'll still give you a case. You have a quick change artist. The shochet is wearing a garment when he starts the shechita, and then presumably somebody else is helping him with this. Somebody comes along and puts another garment on him at the end. The sudar kama lo metame. So the initial one that was removed will not communicate tuma because it's not shechita until the end. V'sudar basar matame, and the latter one will. So Abaye says, I can salvage the question, and therefore again I want to know, is it shechita in the beginning or not? So, and if it is shechita in the beginning, if it's not shechita in the beginning, then why didn't you distinguish? To which the Gemara says, ela v'psula de parakamairi. The answer is because that quote that you brought, that Rabbi Zera brought in the first place about Metamin Begadim, was Bipsula the Parakamayri. It was only dealing with puzzle cases. Bechshera lo kamayri. It wasn't dealing with cases of a kosher para aduma, and maybe that's why it didn't mention the case of the split where you had a beged involved in the beginning and not at the end. So the upshot is we have not answered the question of whether this is shechita in the beginning or whether it's not called shechita until you reach the end. We'll pick up with that, God willing, tomorrow.